On tonight's episode of What the Puck, we're going to talk the Winter Classic coming to D.C., the zombie apocalypse going up to Hershey, and who's going to make this roster before Tuesday night's game against the Blackhawks to open up the regular season. This is What the Puck.
Zombie apocalypse?
Yeah, Walker going up to Hershey.
Well played.
Thank you. Hey guys, thanks again for tuning in to What the Puck. Of course, you can listen to the show on iTunes, Stitcher, whatthepuckcaps.brandocash.com, and the Baltimore Sports Report Network. Joining me as always via Skype, we got Coach Dan Hayden. What's going on, man?
Not too much. How you doing?
I'm doing good. We are closer and closer to regular season hockey. I want to start off the show before we get into anything and just tell you about, I actually got to go to a preseason hockey game this past Friday down at Verizon Center. It was the Capitals versus the Blackhawks. It was a great game to see. It was preseason hockey. Wasn't a huge crowd, you know, because it is the preseason. Tickets were cheap, which was nice. But the one thing I want to bring up, and I thought this was kind of interesting, Tom Wilson got a goal on Friday night's game. And after the goal, you know, when you're at Verizon Center and you see the screens, you know, at, on top of above the ice and everything, they always have those little video packages that they film during the preseason of, like, the guys, like, skating up to the camera or, like, putting a stick down and then, like, ice coming off the blade or whatever. Of all of the rookies that were there, Tom Wilson actually had a real video shot and edited together with his name and his picture. Now, he did have an assist on that goal from Andrei Burakovsky, and he had nothing. They just showed him live getting ready for the next face-off. So, let's just start off this real quick. Let's talk about this roster before we get into anything. Tom Wilson, with that video package already done, is that a clue that he might actually be making this team for opening night?
I don't know. I mean, I didn't know about this just now, but I think my guess is that they had it from last year because he played in the playoffs. And that they probably set one up where they did it during the offseason at some point, so they don't know if to do it in the future. Because
Here's the thing, though. This is their new thing is they shot all this stuff at Kettler. There's these two spotlights in the back.
It's completely different than last season.
Yeah, absolutely. This is a brand new video. Carlson had one because Carlson, I think he got an assist or a goal on Friday night. It's them taking, like, you know, they're skating up to the camera, and then they just kind of stand there. They do a little graphic, like a little After Effects graphic, and then it just says, you know, 43 Tom Wilson. He was the only rookie that got a video made. So something, I think, since they're producing something like that for him, there's a good chance we're going to see him opening night. Now, that could all change, but I find it interesting. If they're going to take time to have this guy shoot graphics and everything, they're going to plan on using it.
Well, let's point out first that those videos always look so awkward, and you just kind of feel like it's really awkward for the players. That they're like, oh, they're trying to be all tough, but you just look like an idiot most of the times. And some of them look kind of sketchy.
I don't even want to bring up John Carlson's giant forehead in this video.
It's a bit of a five-finger forehead, but we'll move on from that one. but I think going into Tom Wilson, I don't know if it was made necessarily because they think he's going to make the roster, because you have to think that they made those probably a while ago before they really knew how he was going to perform. I think he stepped up considerably. I still think he has a chance to make this roster. And I think with Brooks-like's inability to play recently, and he didn't practice at all today, looks like he's got a hip flexor problem, I believe is what they're reporting. I think that is more of a shot for Wilson to end up making this roster or at least playing the first few games. Now, I think they still are going to have some salary cap problems. They fixed a little bit of that by waiving Thomas Kondratyk today, but we'll see. I think what happens with Like could potentially affect Wilson and where he'll end up on this roster. Now, part of that may not be true because they could just plug in Aaron Volpatti and bump someone else up to the second line. You know, I'd have to look and see what the roster looks like necessarily. But depending on what happens with Brooks, like, I think Wilson may or may not have made this team. And I think if Wilson makes a team and he's going to be here all season, someone has to go. Someone's going to get traded because he's not going to fit in either way. They have to get rid of somebody. They have to find the cap space to add him. I think if right now with Kondratyk being waived, I think they may have just enough cap space to bring him on, but then they would have nothing left over. So I think someone has to go before they'd be able to keep him around.
Yeah, you know, we talked about this on the last episode where it really all does come down to money, but I maybe they're trying to make space for him. Maybe that's why Tomas Kondratyk did get waived, and we'll see him in Hershey. So I'm interested to see what happens, but that's the first thing that caught my eye on Friday night is after Tom Wilson got that goal. And it was a beauty. It was a nice goal from Tom Wilson. And he also got into a fight, which was very funny because one of the sticks from the guy he was fighting, or his stick, got stuck in between them. So I've never actually seen a fight with a stick lodged in between both guys before. But that was kind of interesting. We were talking a little bit before we went on air about the roster here, who's going to make this team. Now, of course, all the big names are going to be there. But you were saying that you see defense kind of being a question mark. So do you see guys like Dmitry Orlov? Is he going to be spending more time in Hershey? Is he going to come up here? Where do a lot of these young guys, where are they going to be? Because it seems like defense is still going to be a very crowded area.
Well, real quick with the forwards, I think that's pretty much set in stone. I don't think anybody's going to be jumping in. Some of it does depend on Brooks Like's availability, and we'll see where that lands up. I think you're definitely going to see Johansson, Backstrom, Ovechkin. I think in the end we're going to see Irak, Grabowski. Grabowski, I'd like to point out, has 5 assists in 4 games or something along those lines. Now, he hasn't scored any goals, so what's going on, Mikhail? You got to pick it up, man. You got to put some of the pucks in the net. But no, I think he was a great pickup. I'm going to see him on the second line with Irak and Brouwer. I think potentially you'll end up if I'm going to go with if Wilson doesn't make the team, because right now they don't have the cap space to pull it off. I think you'll see Chimera, Perol, and Fair, and then you'll see I'm totally blanking on name right now. You could see something like Ward, Beagle, and Volpatti or something along those lines. I'm sure I just forgot about somebody. If Like doesn't make the roster, that'll be what happened. I think if Like makes a roster, he plays left wing on that third line, and then you see Chimera bump back to the fourth line on the left wing, Beagle, and Joel Ward. So we'll see what happens there. In regards to the defense, Adam Oates has come out and said he likes having a left-handed defenseman and a right-handed defenseman on each pairing. So I think we're going to have Alsner and Green, I think, is your top pairing. I think that's a given. They said John Erskine's a top 4 defenseman. He's certainly getting paid like one, so he damn well better play like one. So I think you're going to see him with John Carlson. That's going to be a good pairing. And then the third pairing is the one that's sort of up in the air. I think right now they like Steve Alexi and Jack Hillen together. There's lefty and righty. I think that fits in really well. And then I think you have Dmitry Orlov on the outside looking in. Now, I like Orlov. I really like what he brings to the roster. He's great offensively, but they're not happy enough yet, at least with his defensive capabilities, even though he's the master of the hip check. I mean, that dude just pulls it off like no other.
Yeah, he's pretty amazing with that.
If you have a chance, go on YouTube. You can find the videos. It's pretty funny. But I think my guess is that he gets sent down to Hershey to work on his defensive capabilities, and then if someone goes down, he's getting called up, and he's going to play for this team. I think Orlov's definitely a future for this team. I think he's a great player. I think if he hadn't had those 2 concussions last year, he would have been a lock to be on this team right now. But I think he's got to get back into sort of where he was before that. I think you're going to see him start in Hershey, but by the end of the season, he'll be a regular playing with the Capitals.
Yeah, I'm a big fan of Orlov. I really like what he brings to the table. But one guy, just let's talk about this guy real quick. I don't see him making the Capitals. He's more of a namesake in Hershey. But Joel Rechlich, I mean, this guy is playing like he wants to be a full-time Capital. You got to give that guy credit. He's got so much heart. He fought Milan Lucic against the Bruins, and it was an epic battle. I mean, this was like Stanley Cup postseason in the finals fight. I mean, this was an all-out brawl. This guy can pack the punches. I was very impressed with him. That's nothing new about Joel Rechlich. The only thing new was how good he is at shootouts this preseason, we figured out. But I'm interested to see if they do anything with him. I'm sure he'll get called up every once in a while when there's an injury, but I just see him in Hershey. But, man, what a showing this preseason for that guy.
Yeah, I mean, his shootout goal was pretty nice and certainly unexpected. And his fight with Lucic, I thought, was great. It was certainly entertaining to listen to Jack Edwards, the freaking moronic play-by-play guy for the Bruins. I mean, that guy sucks. He's just terrible. I liked a tweet from Eric Fair that was along the lines of, it was great watching that fight, and he would have also liked to have watched the fight that Jack Edwards was calling, because it made it out to be like Lucic was just beating the crap out of Rechlich, which was not the case. I think they both sort of ended up both of them beating the crap out of each other. I think it was a great job by Rechlich. The problem is that's pretty much all he brings to your team. He's not an offensive guy, and I don't mean that to insult him or anything like that. I do think he's a good player to have, but he's a good guy to have in the AHL that is sort of protecting your rookies and your up-and-coming players so that other teams' AHL goons don't go after them, because you know that Rechlich will come on the ice and beat the crap out of you. So I think he's a great guy to have in Hershey, but he's not an NHL player because he doesn't bring anything offensively.
Yeah, that's the big thing. You gotta bring something more than just the fighting. And plus, the NHL is getting so strict on fighting too. You got to think about like because they're putting so many penalties out there and everything. I mean, you get 2 extra minutes if you remove your helmet. You get like a 10-game suspension if you leave the bench to go into a fight. So they're really trying to discourage fighting from the game. I don't think they ever will, though, because, I mean, that is a huge part of the game. It gets the crowd riled up. So I don't see that going away, but they would like it to, or at least on paper, look like they want it to go away. Let's talk a little bit more about what's going on or who's going back up to Hershey. I said the zombie apocalypse is coming to Hershey. That's because Nathan Walker from Australia, he signed a 1-year deal with the Hershey Bears, an AHL contract. There's a lot of stuff going on. People are a little bit confused about what's going on with his contract, but apparently he can't be signed to the Capitals because he never was in the draft, but he did play over in Europe. So because he's never been in the draft before and because of his age, he cannot sign with the Capitals. He has to go to Hershey. And pretty much him signing with Hershey is just his way and the Caps' way of saying, we want you in this organization. We just can't have you right now.
Yeah, and that's certainly how I understand it, and that he can't play for any NHL teams because he's never been part of the draft. And the way it looks like it's going to go down if he does well in Hershey is that he will be part of the draft next season, or next offseason, I should say. So there's the possibility that someone else may go and pick him up in the end. We don't really know, but I'd love to see him stick around. I think it would be a nice story if he ends up playing a game or two in the NHL as the first Australian player to ever play in the NHL. I think it would be a nice thing, a nice little plug for the Capitals. Maybe get a couple of Caps fans down under.
Yeah, absolutely. So good luck to him. I hope to see him in Hershey, and I hope he does well. I'm interested to see what's going to happen, but I'm a little worried if he does do well in Hershey and then the Capitals can't do anything and or just kind of have their hands tied, and he enters the draft, and hopefully he doesn't become a Penguin or anything like that. But
Whoa.
Yeah, I don't want that. Big news broke over the weekend about the Capitals. They will be hosting the 2015 Winter Classic. Of course, that's going to be on New Year's Day in 2015. Now, the venue and the opponent have not been announced, but for me, as a Baltimore guy, my dream would, of course, to have the Capitals play in Camden Yards and have no home field advantage for anyone and be like the Capitals against the Flyers. I think that would be really cool. But again, Baltimore is not D.C., and of course, the Washington Capitals are going to want to host in their own town, so of course that makes a lot of sense. Now, as far as opponents, even though I think Caps Flyers in Baltimore is great, I want to see the Carolina Hurricanes play just for the Hartford Whaler sweaters. That's all I want, and I know that won't happen, but I would love to see that.
I feel like I read years ago that the owners of the Hurricanes would never – they don't even reference the Whalers, I believe, or anything like that. They won't, they don't sell the jerseys or anything. I don't even know if they would do that. They would probably use their early jerseys design or some crap like that.
I know in the video games you can play as the Hurricanes in Whaler jerseys. So I think the NHL at least owns that that logo. But whether or not they want to harken back to an old team, I don't know if they would or not. But I'm just saying, because I was a huge Whalers fan back in the day, I would love to see that.
I mean, it would certainly be fun to see, but my guess is you're going to get a team. I mean, it could be the Rangers, the Devils, Flyers possibility, something along those lines. I don't think they'll do Penguins again, but you never know. It depends on how they want to present it through the press. I think it'll be fun in the end. I think Baltimore will be great just for the stadium itself and having the warehouse in the background, but my guess is it's going to be at Nats Park. I think they want something that's in the city. It'll never work on the mall. I know everyone wants it on the National Mall, but it'll never work. It'll be too difficult to set up. I think in the end, FedEx Field is out because it's not technically in the city limits, and RFK is out because it's a piece of crap. So it's a nice – it's kind of like Baltimore Arena. RFK and Baltimore are very similar in that it's great, it's nostalgic, but it's a piece of crap. So they're not going to have it there. I think in the end, the only place they can have it is going to be at Nats Park. And I think it's going to be really cool to have it there. I think it's going to be great. It's going to be fun to watch. Tickets will probably be really expensive. I'm going to do my best to try and get tickets to those games. But you know, you never know what they're going to be. And if they end up being just ridiculously priced, I'll stay at home watching on TV instead of freezing my you-know-what off at Nats Park.
Well, I've never been to Nationals Park before. I've passed it once or twice, and I find it very interesting that the field is so much lower than, like, street level. That's very interesting and very cool to see from the outside. But apparently the Nationals owner is really close with Ted Leonsis, so they're thinking –
I believe he's a minority owner of the Capitals as well, so that's probably going to push it in their direction.
He's a big thing with the Monumental Sports Network. Those two guys are very close with that. So I'm sure Nationals Park is where it's going to be. Now it's just coming down to who they're going to play. And that honestly could be anybody in the Metropolitan Division. Here's something that's pretty cool, though. I think the website is Capitals Hill, capshill.com. And these guys used to be hockey shopped. Graphics, and they did a great mock-up of what the Winter Classic logo might look like. And the friggin' NHL should hire these guys because they're really great at what they do. I was very impressed with what they were putting out there. Everyone's saying it's going to be the red jerseys, the old red jerseys that the Capitals used to wear. That's the jersey they're going to use, and
I think that's a given, dude. Like, you got to think they're not going to go with the white ones. The whole thing is red. They could. It'd be kind of cool. They're probably not going to do it. They probably are going to go with the red ones. But I think the old blue ones were actually really nice. I would like to see them go back to those personally. But yeah, I'm guessing that they're going to go with the red ones.
You want to see like the Screaming Eagle?
I wasn't as big a fan of the Eagle. I just like that jersey in particular. Uh-huh. But, I mean, I agree with you. I think they're going to go with the red ones. I actually just pulled up that Capitals Hill photoshopped image of the Winter Classic logo. That thing is really cool.
Yeah. It's.
They should totally use that one.
It's capshill.com if you want to check it out. If you look at the logo, though, I tweeted to them. I haven't heard back from them. If you look at the logo, it's really nice. It has, you know, the Washington Monument, the Capitol building in it. But towards the right, off the puck, you see three stars, and you see the two blue lines and the white underneath the stars. That, to me, looks like the Chicago flag. The stars aren't the right kind of stars, but that looks exactly like the Chicago flag. So that's the only thing I see as this being a logo that might not work. But honestly, these guys are super talented, and they should be working for the NHL because it is great. They do absolutely great work at capshill.com. So very interesting stuff there. What else do we have to talk to? We have to talk about the Caps. Let's talk about the regular season coming up, man. It's in less than a week. The Caps are opening on the road in Chicago against the Stanley Cup champions. Now, even though it was preseason, if it's any indication, this is the game that I got to see on Friday. This upcoming game is going to be a good one. The Capitals look like they're ready to go. And for this regular season, everyone is talking about Ovechkin and the bounce back that he had, and everyone on the NHL Network and all around wants to tell you how bad the Capitals were at the beginning of last season and how they turned things around. The biggest thing that I'm looking for this season is I want to look at Adam Oates. I want to see him as a full-time coach. I want to see him as a coach that had a training camp under his belt. I want to see him with preseason games with this team under his belt, because now he's known these guys for a good amount of time. It hasn't even been a year that he's been good friends with these guys, but him and Ovechkin have a great relationship, and even though everyone talks about, you know, I want to see this player do this, I want to see Adam Oates as a full-time regular season head coach. That's who I think is going to be key for this regular season to turn out well, is that he leads this team and coaches this team to the best of their ability. I really think a lot of pressure is on him, because he got like he got screwed. He got screwed. he got screwed last season, because he gets a shortened season, he gets no training camp, and he was a brand new coach. So this season, Adam Oates is going to be under the magnifying glass, because I want to see what he does with these guys with a full 82 games.
Yeah, I mean, I think short end of the stick is what you're looking for there.
There it is.
Which actually works really well with hockey, since they play with hockey. Well played there, Brendan. I think Oates is going to do a fine job. I think we saw that last year with his ability to stick with the guys through the just horrible start. I think his ability to say, like, look, we've got this. Everybody just chill. He wasn't freaking out. He wasn't – and to some extent – and I like Bruce Boudreau, but he led with his emotions. Oates doesn't do that. He's very calm. He's very collected. He keeps himself in check. And he knows – I mean, he knows what he's doing. He's not going to go out and he doesn't yell at the guys. He doesn't throw the guys under the bus. He goes and tells the guys, look, believe in the system. This is going to work. And he was right. It did work in the end. It got a crap to bend the playoffs, but it does work. And what I'm looking for when the season starts next Tuesday is I want to see a strong start to the season. I think those first – let's say those first 10 games, that's what I really want to see. I want to see if these guys get it and can play well. This is pretty much the same roster we had from last season. A couple of changes. Hendricks is gone. Ribeiro is gone. But they have Grabowski in. That's really the only biggest change. Erat, to some extent, because he didn't play very much because Ovechkin jacked him up. But that's besides the point. The point is, these guys have had a chance to learn the system. They've had a full offseason. So they have no excuses if they struggle out of the gate. You know, maybe Ovechkin to a little bit because he's got to go do that stupid thing in Greece for the Olympics, whatever. In the end, I want to see that they have a strong start. So those first 10 games are going to be very telling, I think, for how the season is going to go.
Yeah, absolutely. I really want to see what these guys bring, and I really want to see what Adam Oates has done with a full training camp. So this is going to be a very interesting beginning to the season. I feel like this is like, even though you just said there's not that many new players, last year I remember going, all right, who is this guy? What is his number now? This team seems very familiar to me. Now, we do have Grabowski as a member of the Capitals now, which I'm very happy about. But we have Volpatti, who may see a lot more time than he's used to. Who knows? He might be, you know, getting the press box treatment for a lot of the time. I don't know. But this team seems very familiar to me. And if they seem familiar to me, I think they're going to be familiar with each other. And the only line that's going to have some trouble is the Grabowski line, just because he is so new. And he did miss a little bit of training camp due to some visa issues. So I think the only question mark really is him and how he does. But look, tonight, at tonight's game, he got three.
Dude's tearing it up.
He got three assists. I mean, that's pretty great. So I'm not too worried about it. He might be a question mark. He just, you know, might be an exclamation point within like three games.
Well done there. That was nice. I like that.
Thank you.
I think it's going to be great. I mean, he certainly has come in really well. Like you said, he missed part of training camp. He's brand new to the system, but he seems to be doing really well. Now, then again, it is preseason. I mean, the Redskins went 4-0 in preseason. We saw how that's worked out. So, you know, yep. You never know what's going to happen. The preseason is very different than the regular season, but I have high hopes for him. I think he's a very good player, and I think in the end, he's playing for a bigger contract. He's only on a one-year deal, so he's playing for a new long-term contract, and you got to think he's going to want a long-term contract after this season. Now, it could be with the Capitals. It might not. You never know. But in the end, they're going – you know, he's going to want to play somewhere. He's going to want to make a lot of money, so he's got to prove to everyone else that he can do it.
Yeah, absolutely. So what else should we talk about for Caps World? Is there anything else going on?
I mean, the only real other thing I want to bring up is that the Caps signed Connor Carrick to a three-year entry-level deal. He's 19 years old, played with the Plymouth Whalers of the OHL last season, also with Tom Wilson. He was drafted in the fifth round, 137th overall, in the 2012 NHL entry draft. And I would not be surprised if he had got a couple of games with the Caps early in the season before they send him back to Plymouth. I think they like this guy. They like what he brings to the team. I think he could get a couple of games on the third pairing before they send him back for this season, just to see how he can do in the NHL. I think if he plays really well, it's going to make a really hard decision for McPhee as to whether he keeps him around for 10 games or decides to send him back.
Yeah, he's a super talented guy. He's definitely shown a lot in these preseason games. I'm a big fan of him. And Tom Wilson and him are very close, and I think they each are their own biggest fans. And Tom's said a lot of great things about Connor and vice versa. So it'll be interesting to see what they do with these two rookies. But Connor's a great talent, and I'm glad to see that he got signed to the Capitals. So congrats to him. So I guess that's pretty much it for Caps World, and there's really not a lot going up 83 to talk about just yet. They're just getting their training camp started, and they don't have their first game until next Saturday. So we'll talk a little bit more about the Hershey Bears and Reading Royals next week. So right now, let's do what we always do and go around the NHL. All right, with the regular season just around the corner, just a few days away, the NHL is keeping busy, and there's plenty of other teams going on. There's goalie fights, there's line brawls, and that was just one other game. So, Coach Stanton, what's going on around the NHL?
David Clarkson will be suspended for the first 10 games of the regular season because he left the bench during a fight. So let me get this straight. you left the bench during a preseason game knowing it would cost you 10 games in the regular season. Nice job, genius. Not only that caused salary cap problems because the Maple Leafs will now have to find someone to replace him. Speaking of other idiot Maple Leafs, Phil Kessel will be suspended for the rest of the preseason after he took a bunch of slashes at John Scott during a fight in the preseason. Now, did you see this
video? I did.
What a freaking douche. I mean, it's like the first of all, he slashed him, and then someone else grabs Scott, who's like 19 feet tall, apparently, by the way. And then Kessel continues to slash him. How he only gets suspended for the preseason is beyond me. But yeah, Kessel is a freaking pansy. The Vancouver Canucks forward Zach Cassian has been suspended for the team's final three preseason games and for five regular season games for high-sticking Sam Gagner of the Edmonton Oilers. I don't know if I necessarily agree with this one because I don't think he did it on purpose. Yes, he didn't have control of his stick very well, but it wasn't like he went and slashed him like Kessel. Let's put it this way. Cassian is getting five games of the regular season for an accident. Kessel is getting no regular season game suspension for being a douchebag. It doesn't make sense to me. I don't understand. Thanks, Shanahan. You still don't make any freaking sense. veteran forward Brendan Morrow has signed with the St. Louis Blues, which actually is a nice deal for them. He signed a one-year, $1.5 million deal. Morrow played for a long time, 13 years with the Dallas Stars, before getting traded to the Pittsburgh Penguins after they traded for basically everybody at last year's trading deadline. And a couple of new captains news. The Dallas Stars have named Jamie Benn as their new captain after Brendan Morrow, what we just spoke about, was traded to the Pittsburgh Penguins. And the Calgary Flames have named defenseman Mark Giordano as the 19th captain in their franchise history. The previous captain was Jerome McGinley, who at the trading deadline was traded to the Pittsburgh Penguins. Everyone's going to Pittsburgh, apparently. And then last little bit of news, kind of scary news coming out of Pittsburgh, is that Tomas Vokoun is out of the hospital, thankfully, and is resting at home after he was hospitalized, I guess, since Saturday, where he had a procedure performed to dissolve a blood clot in his pelvis. That sounds pretty scary, but it looks like he is going to be okay. That is all of the interesting NHL news. But I actually like to go into a little bit of this hybrid icing thing. I believe we talked about this last week. I'd like to bring it up again because it's sounding like – I believe the vote is going to come down to the players, and we will know by Monday as to whether they liked it or not. But it just sounds like a lot of the Caps players are not big fans of this thing.
Yeah, they're trying it out in the preseason. It comes down to the players. I think a lot of the younger guys are probably used to it because of the college rules, but a lot of the older players aren't going to like it just because it's such a big change of the game. All of it's about concussions, though, so the NHL is just trying to make it a safer work environment for them. But I don't know. I don't see it. I don't see it working out in the long run.
I mean, to some extent, the younger guys also like it because I believe they did it in the AHL. But I think a lot of the problem the players have with it is it puts a lot more responsibility on the referees to make the right call. Because if I understand this correctly, they will make a decision when the players get to the face-off circle to decide who would get there first. Now, sometimes it's going to be very obvious. Sometimes it's going to be a tough call, and you never know. But it's just every time they go into the boards chasing down an icing call, and every time it's Mike Green, you cringe because the guy's made out of glass. And you know he's going to end up getting hurt. And then you have plays or guys like Martin Erat who are really fast, and they go down there, but then you have him go up against some giant-ass defenseman who will jack him up when they're both chasing the puck. So I do think that they're on the right track to keeping the icing calls for making it safer for the players. And we'll see what happens as to whether this is good or bad in the end. I think just like all the other rules when they bring them in, just like the trapezoid behind the net, there's going to be some mistakes early in the season that the players and the refs and everybody's going to have to deal with before they figure this thing out for real.
Yeah, they're just going to have to get used to it. It'll take some time. It's going to take the goalie some time to get used to the new goals that are a little bit not as wide, and they're a little bit more shallow, so people can get around the net a little bit more. So I'm very interested to see what happens there. To go back real quick to Tomas Vokoun, this leaves a giant hole for the Penguins, really, and they need to look for another goalie because Marc-Andre Fleury did not do very well in the postseason the last few years, and they really look to Tomas Vokoun. So I'm interested to see what these guys do. But this is not Tomas Vokoun's first blood clot either. He had this same problem earlier in his career, and I think he missed, a good four to five months because of it. So this is not something that he'll be back to the Penguins quickly. So there is one Russian I know of that isn't doing anything right now that the Penguins could pick up if they want to.
As much as I wish ill on the Penguins, I don't think I wish it that much to have Brizgalov in that locker. I mean, the guy's just a freaking crazy person. I think in the end they'll probably bring up someone for a little while depending on how long Vokun is going to be out, because eventually you're going to have, or at least you're going to want Vokun being your number two guy, or maybe even number one, depending on if Fleury craps the bed again. So we'll see what happens with him, but it's, I don't think anyone wants to bring this guy on because he's just freaking nuts.
Yeah, you know, he is pretty crazy, but he's fun to watch on HBO, but...
That's true. He is highly entertaining. All right, new plan. NHL.com is going to have the Bruce Gallow show. Something like that. And you just let him come on and talk about stuff. It'll be great. You can have it on NHL Network for like a half an hour. You can put it also on NHL.com. It'll be great. People will tune in because they watch Keeping Up with the Kardashians. Why aren't they going to watch Keeping Up with Bruce Gallow?
I would so watch that. I would watch that every day.
Crazy person.
I want to see him be one of the analysts for the NHL.com. Have him interview players. That would be amazing. That would be the greatest thing.
Could you imagine if he was like down on the ice interviewing people like Pierre Maguire does?
I want to see it. Yes, that needs to happen. Let's have him on our show. If his stake isn't that high,
I wouldn't be able to take it seriously enough.
No one wants to hire him in the NHL. Bring him on to What the Puck. I mean, come on. We're popular enough. Let's talk about some of your favorite Russians over there, man. Best of luck to him no matter where he lands.
He is crazy.
All right, so I think that's pretty much it for the show. Thank you all for tuning in and listening to the show. There's many different ways. We talked about it before. We are on iTunes. We are on Stitcher. We are on the Baltimore Sports Report Network. We are on whatthepuckcaps.brandocash.com. There's plenty of different ways you can listen to us. Make sure you tell your friends. Be social online. Let them know on Facebook and Twitter and Tumblr and Pinterest and Vine and Instagram and Reddit. Let them all know where you can find What the Puck, and let them know they should be listening too. And even if your friends don't like hockey and they're just kind of, you know, those random fans, they're like, oh, I might get into it this year, this is a great place to start, because this is going to be like some homework they get to listen to. And that's the greatest thing about podcasts, man, is they go wherever you are. If you're at the gym, if you're driving to work, if you're cutting the grass, if you're grilling, if you're tailgating, no matter what, if you're on your way to the game on the metro and you just want to put your earbuds in, this is a great way to prep yourself for a game, is to listen to the show. You can follow me on Twitter at Brando Cash, and Coach Dan, he's on Twitter as well. Where can people follow you?
You can find me on Twitter at WTP Coach Dan. You can also find me on CapitalsOutsider.com. This is a Caps fan-run website devoted to the Washington Capitals. That's CapitalsOutsider.com. If I ever get around to it, I'm actually going to write a new article, although I'm not quite sure about what you said. I had an idea, and then it didn't work out. So that's CapitalsOutsider.com. But Brandon, what about the Brando Cash Network?
That's right. You can follow the Brando Cash Network on Facebook, facebook.com/BrandoCash. That's where you find this show, information about this show, and all the other shows on the Brando Cash Network. And don't forget to actually like What the Puck over on Facebook. It's facebook.com/WTP Podcast. And the show is actually on Twitter as well, at WTP_podcast. So there's plenty of ways to let us know whether we're great or whether we suck. So let us know either way. We're happy no matter what. So just let us know what's going on with you guys. Next week, big show. It's going to be our first show of the regular season. Capitals have their first game against Chicago on Tuesday, October 1st. The game, I believe, is at 8 o'clock. It's going to be on NBC Sports. It's a nationally televised game. Regular season is upon us. I can't wait to talk some real puck. That's pretty much it for this week.
And don't forget, Bruce Gallup is crazy.
This has been a production of the Brando Cash Network. Music mixed and produced by DJ Wolfman.
What the Puck?
What the Puck?
Is a member of the Baltimore Sports Report Network.
Find more podcasts like this at BaltimoreSportsReport.com.
Well, right now, let me try that again because my computer totally locked up on me for a second. Thanks. What is this? I don't even know what my computer is. Thanks, Aces. Okay. It's preseason, you idiot. Why? So, let's do that all over again because that was terrible. That was so bad. I don't think anybody's going to pick up Bruce Gallup because he's fucking nuts. Did I drop an F-bomb? Let me say that again because we shouldn't say that on the air.
All right.
I really didn't mean to do that. That totally slipped.